Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, there's a, you there's don't a understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year... Second class candy is pretty good.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy to have you with us here, rolling through a Monday. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Zach Jones at the controls, as always. Happy to welcome back in to the show on the West Hur Hotline our buddy Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com and co-host of the Wonderful Shout podcast. Matt, I'm glad that we got you in. I know it gets to be a busy time this time of the year with Little League, so I'm glad we are we on the front end of that here.
Oh, yes, we're definitely on the front end, although we did kick things off over the weekend. We're full steam ahead. I think we got, four nights this week on the schedule. So it's a great time, though. Summer in Buffalo, and there's no better season anywhere, in my opinion. And it's going to be a nice summer, I think.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. Yeah, I know my kids came through the Hurdle North Park Youth Baseball League at Shoshone, and this past Saturday, was parade day. And that is always a great scene. I don't know, you're with Amherst Little League, I'm guessing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Amherst Little League.
The Hurdle, they start like down by St. Margaret's Church, which is up near Colvin, and march down to the park. And we did it when the boys were playing. It's such a cool scene, such a great scene that Saturday morning with the parade. So a lot of that to take in. Well, lucky for us, the Bills made a move on Friday. So I'm thinking if we had talked to you last Monday after the draft and talked about how you think they're done, is the roster complete? And then here comes Chase Claypool and a couple of other players as well as we're getting into the weekend. Do we think they're done now, Matt? Like, where are you on the Bills roster construct as this offseason starts to really pick up?
I don't think they're done. I think they're at somewhere around, 87. I'm actually waiting. Sal does that doc that he puts out, and I follow that regularly. But I counted it up after the Claypool signing, and I think they're at 87 because the kid they took in the seventh round is in the international program, so he won't count against the roster. I don't think they're done. I mean, I think they're going to tweak this thing throughout the summer as things make sense. Now, there's not a lot of exciting names out there. You mentioned Chase Claypool. They bring in Dwayne Smoot, who I think from their perspective is a dice roll at edge rusher, which we did a podcast last week, Ryan and I, and we ranked the position groups in terms of like the most concerning. We asked the fans what they were thinking, mm-hmm. and a lot of fan groups said wide receiver, but I think I'm on edge rusher because you don't know what you're getting from Von Miller. Greg Rousseau hasn't really showed yet that he can kind of carry the load as a pass rusher. We know what he is as a run defender. AJ Epenesa, good at times, flashes at times, and then beyond the three of them, it's a lot of I don't know. And, mm-hmm. and if you're relying on Javon Solomon, a fifth-round draft pick, to come in here and win a significant role, I have questions about that. And Smoot was really good 2 years ago before he had the Achilles. He wasn't very good last year, but again, he's coming off of that injury. A lot of people say you need a whole season to kind of get back to form. So I think the Bills are kind of like a latent free agency dart throw here. He's not Leonard Floyd. He's not going to bring you 10-plus sacks. He's never had more than 7 in a season. But I think he can bring some interesting production and at least add somebody that's done it in the league, former third-round pick.
Matt Perino from the Shout Podcast and Syracuse.com on the West Hur Hotline with us here on WGR. So, receiver, and let's start at the end here. Claypool's the most recent addition, and I don't know. This might be the least McDermott-Billsy signing they've made since McDermott's been here, because Claypool, his career is checkered with questionable attitude. He seems more like a guy who... I don't know, some of his behavior reminds you of a guy who catches 100 passes a year, except he's never caught 100 passes in a year, but he just got this, you know, like, oh, you know, I should be the center of the offense type of thing. Like, it's possible he's matured. He's still a pretty young guy. With that said, what did you make of Chase Claypool? Would it surprise anyone if he didn't even make it out of the summer with this team?
It wouldn't, and that's why I think I like the move more than anything is this. This is a guy you're giving an opportunity that, you know, maybe they're dwindling. Like, I don't know how many more he's going to get. You're not going to be on the hook for a lot of money. I imagine it's a vet minimum. The numbers haven't come out yet. But I like this move a lot. It's funny because this is – I can't remember a guy added this late in free agency that has caused this much of a stir, especially, like, early summer – late spring, Friday afternoon, and man, was X buzzing the other day about this move. And it's you're right, it doesn't feel very Sean McDermott-like, but I've made an argument over the last couple of years, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. It's like so many people think that building the culture is about the people that you bring in and then staying on that course, like only bringing in a certain type of person, where I've kind of pushed back on that. I think over time, the culture is the culture, and you bring in people that maybe don't fit it, but because of your culture have the chance to maybe change how that person been within that improvement in culture. And I think if you look at Chase Claypool, I mean, go back to that wide receiver room in Pittsburgh when Juju Smith-Schuster was the vet leading that room, taking them all out to the 50-yard line and playing those TikTok videos or filming those TikTok videos. Of course he kind of went off the straight and narrow. The guy had no veteran leadership in his room. It kind of goes south. Big Ben in that second season in 2021 was horrible. I mean, we couldn't get to the end of that season fast enough before it's like, Ben, retire. Nobody wants to see you do this anymore. And so he didn't have a very good quarterback. Then he goes to Chicago. Didn't have a very good quarterback. Then went to Miami late in the year, never found a role. I'm not going to judge him too much on not picking that thing up or finding a role too soon. This is a chance for a former second-round pick who the Bills did their work on in the draft years ago. I remember talking to a couple people in league circles that said the Bills were very high on Claypool. They probably think, all right, we liked him back then. We get him into our system. There's an opportunity here. And if you give a guy an opportunity who has none left, and you kind of that gratefulness comes out and they're willing to kind of go, you know, to the wall for you, that's worth a chance. And for as many people that are so high on the KJ Hamler dart throw, I'm surprised that there's so many people that are against the Claypool dart throw, because Claypool at least has had a year of like significant production versus Hamler, who hey, he played 13 years, had like 400 yards and 3 touchdowns in one season that he's played.
Yeah, it's really because you say Chase Claypool, and I think even casual fans go, oh, yeah, that's the guy that's like, you know, get me the ball, or, you know, I deserve more or whatever. He's just, you know, everybody's got an opinion about him, and it's mostly negative. So I think that's definitely where that comes from. I like your premise a lot about the culture and being able to, you know, sort of walk out on the thinner ice a bit because you feel like you've got a stable situation. The thing that makes it a little tricky this year is that they're in the midst of kind of an overhaul here in that department, right? No Hyde, we presume no Hyde, we'll see for sure, but no Poyer, no Tre'Davious White, no Mitch Morse, no Diggs to lead that receiver room. There's a lot of turnover, but the premise I think is sound. Like, especially when you factor in that it won't cost much, and if he doesn't fit in, they'll just send him away, I would assume.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, he's not going to get a very long leash here. If you get him in the building and you're not vibing with him, it will just take 1 minute for them to cut him and bring somebody else off the street. They've done that in training camp, before training camp, in preseason. Many times in the past. And I think my guess is, and we haven't gotten a chance to talk to Brandon since the move, and I'm very interested to hear what he'll say about this when the next time we get to talk to him. It might not be till training camp, actually. But just what were these conversations like? Because they do their due diligence in getting a feel for the guy, and for them to kind of offer him a contract, you think that he would have passed the smell test for – you know, what he's walking in here and bringing into a room, to your point, that I don't think that they'd be very comfortable throwing in a funky apple into the mix here, because they got new players. They have young players in Keon Coleman. Khalil Shakir's in year three, and I know that they think he's a young, developing leader. But you throw a wrench in all of this, and Chase Claypool – you know, brings any kind of weird energy, especially if he does well early, and then later in the season that kind of stuff comes up. I think they're betting on their culture. Right. I think they're betting on their culture more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis Samuel's the senior member of the room, and he just got here. You know, like, that's it. After that, it's Shakir, which is kind of crazy how much turnover there's been there. With all that said, Matt, I think circling back to what you were referring to about how annoyed a lot of the fan base seemed to be on social media on Friday when the Claypool signing was announced, it's probably some byproduct of the wide receiver train not being as full as a lot of people wanted it, right? I mean, I don't remember when we last spoke, but the Diggs move, to me, I was sure as I've been about anything with Brandon Bean, that there's another corresponding move. He is going to do something. And instead, he just waited for the draft and even traded back twice and pulled Keon Coleman into the boat. And there's no established replacement for Diggs and Davis leaving. Then here comes Chase Claypool. And I think, you know, maybe a lot of fans are, you think you're replacing Diggs with Chase Claypool? And, like, of course, those things don't have to be connected. But circumstantially, it looks, you know, he's even going to wear the same number. So, like, that probably didn't help.
Definitely didn't. But I think the approach over the last month, to me, has made it crystal clear to me what they think of Dalton Kincaid. Because if you go out and bring in, say you trade up for a Rome Odunze, or you trade up for even a Brian Thomas Jr., you're trading up for that guy. You're spending a lot of critical assets, and you're going to have to feature that player in your offense. And to me, I don't know if that's a healthy way to run an offense, or at least a successful offense in 2024. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was on. Like, you see all these examples across the league where teams are relying on just a bunch of young players, no real superstars, where you're playing $30 million. Because once you get to that kind of caliber receiver, you know, there's other things that come along with the job. There's this the role. Like, where you're demanding the ball, you're demanding the targets. Stephon Diggs ended up in Buffalo because he was mad that he wasn't getting involved enough in the offense. And to add another player like that and potentially take away from how much you potentially want to feature your first round, let me remind everybody, your first round tight end investment from a year ago, I think they like surrounding Kincaid with a bunch of different skill sets at wide receiver. And then let's see what he looks like maybe in a larger role. And this is all part of it pairs perfectly with a financial reset where you have to get the salary cap in order. And then next offseason, if it doesn't work as you think it's going to, you have enough capital to be aggressive in free agency, in the draft, if that's where you see the value, and go out and get weapons to add in the way that you want. Now that Joe Brady is going to be entrenched in the job, and, you know, you have Dalton Kincaid, you have all these other players, you go after it maybe next offseason. And I know a lot of fans don't want to hear that because you're in the middle of Josh Allen's prime, and it almost feels in a lot of ways like you might be wasting that if you're not going all in every year.
I know. I've been wrestling with that all offseason, Matt, because on one hand, I totally feel that way. Like, Josh Allen is not going to be this young ever again. And at some point here, I mean, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but at some point, he is going to hit some sort of an athletic wall, you know, like somewhere here. I'm anticipating him playing quarterback for many years after he stops being a guy who leaps over tall buildings in a single bound is all I'm saying, right? He's going to slow down at some point. And so, you know, you don't want to take a year where you even hint at hitting the pause button, but at the same time, the reality of the situation is guys aged out. You had some bad contracts, Diggs included, the Von Miller contract. You got to dig yourself out sometime. So, I mean, on one hand, I was trade everything you need to trade to go get Odunze. On the other hand, I understand the reality of the situation. It's just tough to take, you know, a year where you could be, if you are hitting pause. So all that said, let me ask you, like, are you thinking that Kincaid will be like the target share leader and receptions leader on this team?
Yes. I think he'll lead the team in receptions, receiving yards, maybe not touchdowns, because I actually, talking about like bold predictions on one of the shows last week too, I think Keon Coleman could take a run at the touchdown record, at least the rookie touchdown record. I think it was Lee Evans. I got to go back and look at the number now, but I like him as a red zone threat almost more than anything else. I feel like that's where his skill set is going to shine. And, you know, where I think Dalton Kincaid can be a weapon in the red zone too, in his own way. We saw it last year at times. Coleman is just this, like, above the rim, jump ball artist at the catch point. So I think you're going to want to see him in a bunch of those different situations, especially early in the season. The Bills moved the ball last year so well. I mean, they had long plodding drives, and sometimes it just felt like, you know, at times they were looking for somebody that is exactly what Keon Coleman brings to the table. And I think that, you know, they've made, I mean, Brandon Bean has not hit it. He's gone out there and brought in three straight guys that have the exact same size profile in Mack Hollins,
Coleman and Claypool. Yeah.
Coleman and Claypool. Even the other kid from Detroit, the kid that got suspended for gambling.
Cephas, yeah. He's Gambler, a little smaller, but yeah, bigger than some of their other guys. And shorter. Let's not leave him out of the conversation, too.
Oh, I will get absolutely run on social media if I don't mention Justin Shorter. So thank you for doing that. The Hive is a buzzing as we speak, because everybody is ready for the summer of Shorter. I think it's the summer of Shorter on deck, right?
I'm assuming all fan bases are like this, right? There's like latch on to a guy who they see with no shirt on in a picture and be like, oh man, that guy's gonna murder, right? Like, that happens everywhere. I hope it's not just us, right?
To a degree, but not like here. But that's what's endearing about it. Like, I love the fact that in the middle of June, I'll get an angry DM or tweet about the fact that, you know, I wrote a story about the wide receivers and I didn't talk about Justin Shorter, a fifth round draft pick from last season, enough in that story. Hasn't played a single snap in the NFL yet. But listen, I like Justin Shorter. Like, I know we joke about it.
Me too, sure, yeah. But like, projecting or guessing about him being, I just got a feeling. Like, okay, I'm glad you have a feeling. I hope it works. You know, they could definitely use a guy that to hit from the fifth round, and we've seen fifth. I mean, Shakir was a fifth round pick. Diggs is a fifth round pick. So it's not like far fetched. It's just. I feel like there's always a rush to it. Is all I'm really pointing out, which is, I don't know, maybe not that novel a concept. Other draft picks I wanted to ask you about. We're gonna run out of time here pretty fast, Matt. I like the Bishop pick a lot. Like, I feel like, I know I talk to Sal all the time, and he'll make the point about veterans in the safety positions with this team. It's what they've had since really McDermott and Bean got here. They acquired Hyde and Poyer, you know, first two free agents, and there are bookends there for all these years. Man, I think Bishop's profile reads real, real nice.
Oh, I like the Bishop pick a lot. I mean, if you think about it, like, Brian Thomas Jr., of course, trade-ups for the top receivers, A.D. Mitchell. When we're talking about mock drafts, all those guys led the way in mock drafts. But if you did, like, a day two, like, top of the target list, I think Cole Bishop was definitely in the mix. I saw him in mock drafts every single day, whether it be in round two, round three. And the Bills got aggressive with it. They picked him maybe a little bit earlier than a lot of experts thought, but they wanted this guy so bad that they were talking about trading up for him. So that, to me, is the piece of this that goes into the evaluation where I don't know everything about these young players. I'm going to learn about them over the next couple of months. I'm going to cover them. I'm going to get a chance to talk to them. But to me, when the Bills in the past have been this bullish on a player, that's what's cause for excitement. And you mentioned the point about Sal, and I agree with them. And it's why I didn't have the Bills going safety in the first three rounds. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm thinking they've changed their defense. They play this dime look so much now that it's now about finding value and adding numbers, because they're going to need whether it's a second starting safety, depending on who is the first, whether it's that third safety that Taylor Rapp played at the end of last season, which he got a lot of snaps. It's a very important role. Bishop, to me, at the least, baseline, is that third safety that you can kind of use as a little.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A little bit of a chess piece, a little bit more of a blitzer, maybe somebody that operates a little bit more around the line of scrimmage. But yeah, he seems like a guy that, and plus he got the Dalton Kincaid stamp of approval. You know, they like to work their back channels with their people. I like the Bishop pick a lot.
One last thing for you. Anybody from the rest of it that you want to get a mention in on? My favorite of the rest of it is the center from Georgia. I feel like a guy that played that much football in that league on that team is someone that I don't expect him to step in and start now, but I feel like as soon as next year, that maybe is a new starter for the Bills.
No, I think I totally agree with you. Just because you mentioned Mo, I will go a little bit off the beaten path. I love the pick in the seventh round of this Travis Clayton kid. And I like it so much because there's no expectation for him, right? Like when you come in the pathway program, you know, even with Christian Wade, we saw the height of the pathway program with Wade. You know, Bills fans, like you mentioned, they really, you know, get into the preseason and the lead up to the season. And there was Wade mania for a while. This dude has a chance to be like a legitimate bona fide future star. I mean, you think about like a Jordan Mailata. Like, could you imagine if the Bills somehow in their throwaway seventh round pick found the next like all pro big time left or right tackle in the league? Now, he's very unproven. I'm not trying to take us all the way to that point. But everybody that watched his workout, I mean, from Daniel Jeremiah to Lance Zierlein, they literally are raving about this guy, and they're raving about him so much because and the Bills were so high on him that they used a draft pick to get him instead of waiting till after the draft and trying to take their chances in signing him. I really like the work that they've done on the offensive line, and they got a plan for something. Spencer Brown, I like him a lot, but he might be on the verge of making like $13 to $17 mm-hmm. million a year if he has a big season. So this is all this offseason as a whole, planning for the future, one step ahead. Brandon Bean's got to be there at that point with Josh Allen making what he's making.
Excellent job, Matt. As always, love the time and look forward to connecting with you again as we get into the summer.
All right, buddy. Take care. Have a great summer.
All right. That is Matt Perino, co-host of the Shout Podcast and Syracuse.com on the Bills beat. 803-0550 is the number. You want to spin off of anything that we were talking about there with Matt regarding the Bills, the receiver room, Chase Claypool. I mean, that happened on a Friday. If you haven't had a chance to get your opinion on that out there, want to dig into that, that's totally cool by me at 803-0550. If you want to circle back to the very beginning of the show, spent the first hour on the Bandits. If you got anything to say about the experience of being in there yesterday afternoon into the early evening for the win, the big comeback over Toronto to get them into the finals for a 13th time in a fourth consecutive season. Love to hear from you. I'm trying my best. It's not always been an area at all to say it lightly that I've paid a lot of attention to, but the light's going on for me. I see you, I feel you, I hear you, Bandit Land, and it's awesome. And so you want to just talk about this series coming up here a week from Friday with Albany or anything that's gone on this year, just the whole vibe of the scene there, totally welcome. Lines are available at 803-0550. All right, Bills or Bandits, we'll get some hockey on the board as we move into the back half of today's show. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com will be with me at 5, Paul Hamilton at 6. Mike is off today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
Look, buddy, you know, you have more rings than I do, but I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. You know, the feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL and a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
I actually heard very positive reviews of the Brady roast. I did not partake.
I was going to say that sounds like you didn't watch it.
No, but I heard social media. I mean, I don't know how much you want to trust it, but it seemed like favorable reviews.
I saw the same. I feel better now, knowing that like I'm not the only person that didn't watch it. Yeah. I just had no desire. I don't like roasts really, anyways. So, like I'm like, they're fine, and then I don't like Brady, so I'm like, I don't really care. And then like seeing all like the old Patriots like show up, I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to hear Rob Gronkowski botch a joke. I'm good.
My biggest problem with everything as it pertains to Brady is that I don't know that I've ever said it exactly this way. I'm afraid I'm gonna like him.
Yep. I'm really worried. Like he's gonna.
I'm afraid
games.
I'm gonna like him
because I can't have that. I can't. It's not that he was the boogeyman of my life and my like childhood. Like the Bills kind of did their own part in that, and he was
sure.
just successful.
Yeah.
I've gotten over that, but I don't need to have like this like second phase of my life where it's like actually Tom Brady really underrated. I don't need that. I do not need that.
That's very well said right there. Yes, that's exactly how I feel. Like I don't want to like you. If objectively you don't make me mad, that's gonna be a struggle for me. I want you. You are here to make me mad. That's our relationship, Tom.
And you've done great at it so far.
I mean, you have killed it.
Don't change what you're good at.
Don't change. I like us like this, me despising your existence. It's good. It fuels me. I enjoy it. I'm worried I'm gonna not. I did see who did I read? The guy from Curb, Jeff Ross, maybe. I'm trying to think of the right name. Somebody made a joke about Robert Kraft's massage.
That went poorly.
Parlor thing.
That went poorly.
And Brady, it seemed like genuinely was like dude out of bounds or something. Like he so.
Yeah. I thought we were gonna have another Will Smith moment. I was excited. Like,
yeah.
When I saw
right.
that, I was like. Because I wasn't keeping up on it, so I just saw it come up on Twitter, and I'm like,
yeah.
Yes, and then it didn't really go anywhere. I'm like, all right, fine.
I hope I didn't mangle the name of who that was, but I just know I read that. Anyway, well, I have not seen any clips of it either. Is that Netflix being proprietary with it or something, maybe?
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Probably.
I was going to say, everything I've seen on Twitter is kind of like secondhand footage.
Pirated,
like on phone.
Somebody's phone, yeah, that kind of thing. All right. Anyway, yeah, Tom Brady, they had a roast, great. All right. I really think he's going to be good at the games, and it's going to make me crazy. I really do. I don't need to get like way off on a tangent on that right now. I got other things I want to do here, but that is, I've said it a few times to Mike. I think he's going to be good at it, and that is not going to be good for me. I think is what's going to end up happening. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Well, what is the conversation? Well, today so far, we have spent about an hour on the Bandits and their thrilling come-from-behind fourth-quarter comeback to eliminate Toronto from the NLL semis, and Buffalo moves on to play in the finals. We got to wait until May 17th, Friday, May 17th, game one in Albany, game two the following night in Buffalo. If they need a game three, it's back in Albany the following Friday. Just so you know, that's your schedule. We've got to wait for everything. The Amherst don't play the deciding game in their series with, is it Syracuse,
yes,
until Friday?
Yes.
Wow.
It's hurry up and wait. It's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Tough times. Tough times. Anyway, speaking of comebacks, that was a nice job by the Amherst, to say the least, coming from three goals down in the third period to win that game and stave off elimination. So they get a winner-take-all game five, again, Friday, coming up in Syracuse. We'll talk with Paul about some of that. No, the game's in Rochester, excuse me. It's a home game for the Amherst. I didn't mean to botch that, because I saw tickets flying out the door for that. So that's awesome to hear and see. Anyway, we'll touch on that with Paul in a couple of hours. So Bandits, we've been talking about. I wanted to open the door. It's not something that we have frequently done. That's not anyone's fault but ours, mine. And I've been ruminating on this for a few weeks. I had a Saturday before the playoffs started. I stopped downtown, one of my favorite joints, Swanee House in the First Ward, on a Saturday afternoon. I was on my way back from something out in the South Towns, and it was like 5:30. It was like pre-game central, which was awesome to see and awesome to kind of like just be on the periphery of watching that. It's been so long since we've had like those kind of vibes. I mean, I know people still go to the hockey games, and of course the Bills are, have been a contending team here, but to downtown, like right now, what you get with the Bandits is everything we want the Sabres to be. I mean, right? And that's what I was thinking about when I was sitting in the Swanee that day, watching everybody, it's families and it's friends and it's, people showing up to meet other people and we're going to a game and it's a big deal and everyone seems to know everyone. And like, that is what you want your sports scene to be. I do anyway. I mean, of course I want the games to be good. I want the games to be entertaining. I want to see talent and skill and determination and, whatever else is toughness. I want all that. But I want that connection with the fans. Like, that has always been my favorite thing about the Sabres, and it's why this 13-year playoff drought has been so hard on, I think, so many people, whether you are aware of it or not. Like, the vibe, the connection, the feeling of, like, everyone is into this. It's such a good thing. It's such a healthy thing for a community and for fans to have. And there's something about it being in the city core itself. Like, hockey and lacrosse only provide that. I mean, football has been in the suburbs, and I know that's the kingpin, and there's nothing we're doing about it. We're building a new stadium out in the suburbs. I just love when I see downtown bustling like that. And, man, the Bandits have got so much to appreciate, so much to enjoy. Like, the players, there's been stability with the roster. I talked to Dave Buchanan to lead today's show off. He's been working on their broadcast now for many years and longtime employee here at WGR, was even a producer on this show lifetime ago. So I had a nice visit with Dave. He followed up, texted me, like, key guys on the team have chosen to get locked up long-term. They have relationships here in town. They're living here year round. They're running lacrosse clinics. They're invested, and that is such a positive thing too, I think, because it's hard for us, I think, to connect with the players on the teams. They just live in such a different world. I mean, the financial realities of their lifestyle, not to mention the training and the regimen and the playing and the practicing and all the physical activity that's involved there and the amount of discipline it takes to actually play any pro sport at that high a level. You love when there's, when it feels closer. It feels like there's some commonality there. You've got something that ties you to it more than just the hat tricks or the great saves. And boy, Dave filling me in on that about some of the key names, the big names on this team, that the commitment that they've shown back to the area and the roots they're putting down and just the duration of time that they've been here. I mean, John Tavares is the coach of this team. I mean, he's like the face of North American lacrosse, one of them anyway. And of course, toiled here for many years and won championships with the Bandits. He's their coach. It's so awesome. There's so much to love and be invested in with it. That I know it sounds like, hey, where you been? I know I've been right here watching it and never really taking the step that I took today, which was to, well, I guess for lack of a better way to put it, acknowledge it. Like, I see it, I feel it, and it's awesome. So I hope you folks are all having a good time with it. If you want to talk about anything at all Bandit related, I know that's very vague. I don't have a hot take for you about how they're playing Dane Smith too much. All right. I mean, I'm not going to be that guy. All right. But I am here for vibes. I am here for what it means to you. Like, what's your favorite part of the whole thing, right? Is it your kids getting into it with you, or the connection? I had a guy earlier talking about going with his wife, and they didn't really know much about it when they started, and now they love it. Anything in that vein, man, I am 100% here for that. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to call. We'll get into more football as we go, and certainly some hockey. We've got a couple of hockey guests, in fact, coming up in about 20 minutes. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com. He's the managing editor of that site, or deputy managing editor of that site. Also is heavy into the draft, and the lottery's coming up tomorrow, so we'll buzz some of that and, of course, talk about these playoff series that are now into round two. The entirety of round two is now ready to start. Boston and Florida will play tonight. We had the Rangers and Carolina play game one, followed by game seven, Dallas and Vegas. Holy cow, what a slugfest that was. And Dallas moves on. They'll play Colorado. Anyway, we'll get into all that and more as we continue. Adam Kimmelman coming up, as I said, at 5. Paul Hamilton will join the show at 6, but lines are open now. You want to get in? Love to have you. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep is off today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bull.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bug, and thanks for listening to WGR. Happy to be with you on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. We expect him back tomorrow. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to join in the show like Jay has done. Let's hook Jay up. Hi, Jay. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Just wanted to love on the lacrosse for a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
We love bringing our kids. We got a 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 6-year-old. They all play. I was a college player at a D3 school, but having the success here in town is just amazing. We love the atmosphere. The kids are dancing during the plays. They're dancing in between quarters. And probably the best thing is it's just much more affordable. We might even, depending on the PSL prices, we might even give up the Bills tickets and become Bandit season ticket holders.
Well, you know, if you feel good about the kids going and they enjoy it, and you obviously have a history with the sport playing like you did at the level you did, that all adds up, man. That all tracks. Like, whatever it is. Listen, I was never that interested in goaltender play until my kid became a goaltender, and then he got good enough to get some attention. Like, okay, I guess I'm into goaltending now. Like, our kids can often steer that ship for us, you know? So if they dig it and you feel more comfortable, and it's certainly more affordable than going to the bigger time stuff, man, I mean, more power to you. That's what I say.
Yeah, makes it a lot easier to decide on that on a Friday or Saturday night than some of the other things we try to choose when they enjoy it. So we love it.
Good deal. All right, Jay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Like that, I've said a few times, it really, that scene, the Bandit scene, what struck me about just being on the periphery of it a couple of weeks ago is that it is everything. I really do. Maybe it doesn't have the national attention and like the, you know, Stephen A. Smith isn't going to give you hot takes about, you know, Chris Kluche or Josh Byrne. You're missing that. And even the guys on the local radio maybe aren't going to give you hot takes about Chris Kluche or Josh Byrne. But you've got this camaraderie. You've got an excellent scene. You've got an excellent team. You've got familiarity with the players. Championship round 4 years in a row, 13th time in their history. It just all works, man. It just is really, to me, a scene to be proud of. And I think the fans of this team and of that sport should be proud of it. And really, all I've been trying to do today is call some attention to that and let you, like, I don't know if you, I don't want to be too lofty in my aspirations. I'm not reveling in it, but just appreciate that you're being seen and you're being heard and you're being recognized. Because even if it doesn't get the column inches or the hours of endless airwave babble that we give the wide receiver train and the new Sabre coach and all the stuff that we talk about that's our stock and trade, like the Bandits deserve respect, and the fan base has been driving it for years, deserves respect and recognition. And that's all I'm trying to do, is just like raise my hand and go like, you know what? I'm over here. I haven't been paying attention like I should. I've missed out. It's my loss. And just trying to open the door a little bit, let you know that, you know, some attention is being paid. That's all. Like, I'm not trying to glom on to anything at all. I woke up today thinking that was fantastic yesterday, and why should it not lead a sports show in the city where it happened? That's it. That simple. So anyway, that's my thought process. I don't know. I don't know where it goes from here, but it was awesome to see, and congrats to them and their fans. I'm not done, by the way. Just getting ready to take a break. Coming up after the top of the hour update, we'll get into the NHL, the playoffs so far, and tomorrow's draft lottery and the draft itself coming up at the end of June. Adam Kimmelman from NHL.com will be my guest right after this, so please do stay tuned. Mike Shope is away today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.